KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach, Laguna's only FM, KX93.5.
You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer, and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Good morning. Best, and I might add, only radio station. And you are on board with Radio Caravan this morning. Welcome on board. I'm here with my host, Scotty Hayes. Scotty Scooty Hayes, say good morning, brother.
Robbie, how you doing?
I'm good, and I'm Robert Palmer, and thank you for joining us. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Can I hear me? I can't hear me, Megan. Am I on, actually? Okay, because I'm not hearing it in the headphone set, so...
There we go.
There you go.
Thank you very much. So, life's good, man. How about for you?
Really good, you know, but it's not as good for me as it is for four young men here. I'd like to give a shout-out to our scouts here. We got Max Brown, Chad Kamer, Mason Reed, and Jeffrey Spitz. They're local boys here. They all made Eagle Scout this week.
Oh, nice.
One of the finest accomplishments a young man can make.
Very nice.
And you know, when employers are looking on a resume, the number one thing you look for, Eagle Scout, says something about a young man.
Is that true?
It is indeed. I always do.
Wow, I never knew that. Well, that's good to know.
I'd also like to give a shout-out to my friends, Egel and Sheila Sunshine. You may know them. They're Laguna Beach residents. They were at the Human Options charity event last night and out of the blue donated, ready for this, $1 million.
Wow.
To help prevent the cycle of violence and protect young women and children. So a big shout-out to the Sunshine family for your generosity.
Beautiful, yeah. Are they listeners of Radio Caravan?
I don't know. They were up late with me last night, so they're probably still sleeping.
Okay.
But that was all good.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, I was in a meeting the other day. I want you to hear this for a moment. I want to see what you think, right?
Okay,
far away. And, Mike, the guy that I was holding the meeting with, right? It was kind of, you know, I thought, you know, we'd sit down and have a chat and have a meeting. The guy parked in the loading-only zone, I think it was, so he was only there for 20 minutes.
And he was pretty anxious to leave.
And he was anxious. He kept looking at the police officer walking by to make sure that he didn't get a ticket on his car.
And I did not.
No, what do you mean you?
that would be me.
We had 20 minutes because you were parking.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Yeah. I'm just saying, you could have put a quarter in and we could have had an hour.
I'm a law-abiding citizen. It's 20-minute loading zone. That's all you get. Doesn't matter how much money you put in.
All right. Well, it would have been worth a quarter to stay a little longer. So, all right. Hey, Radio Caravan is sponsored by Jimmy's Famous American Tavern in Dana Point Harbor. Regional American comfort food cocktails, micro brews, and California wines. It's open for lunch and dinner and weekend brunch. Visit www.j-fat.com. And be part of the sponsorship. We give away a gift card and to the first caller. We got a question, of course, to the first caller who can answer the following question. And the phone number to call before I ask the question is 949-715-5936. 949-715-5936.
Is that a toll-free call?
I think it is if you're calling within the 949 area. And the question is, we had the owner of Jimmy's Famous American Tavern on a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
What is his name? To the first caller who can correctly identify the name of the owner of Jimmy's Famous American Tavern, we have a gift certificate coming your way. So 949-715-5936. All right, let's move along. What else? We've got Radio Caravan now on Cox TV, 8 p.m. every Saturday, 12 noon on Sunday. Have you seen this yet, Robert?
It's on tonight.
It's on tonight, and we have Sandra Hutchins on, Orange County Sheriff.
We do indeed. Looking forward to the show.
It was a great show. She was an extraordinarily interesting person.
Very much so. Her own personal journey, including coming back and fighting cancer.
Yeah. And that's 8 p.m. tonight, Cox Channel 3, 12 noon on Sunday.
And if I miss it, when else can I see it on Cox?
12 noon on Sunday.
That's fantastic.
And again the following weekend. Yeah, but you're not going to miss it this weekend, right?
No, I'm going to watch it.
You're going to TiVo it or record it or watch it?
I don't TiVo. I don't believe in that.
Oh, interesting.
It's like time shifter, wormholes, bad things happen.
You're a TiVo snob, too.
I just don't like TiVo. I think it's wrong.
Okay.
There are better things in life than sit around punching buttons for recording machines.
Okay, good. So, first caller who calls in, 715-5936, who is the owner of Jimmy's Famous American Tavern. All right, let's move along to Police Blotter, shall we?
Today's Police Blotter.
All right, Laguna Beach, a beautiful, perfect paradise. What could possibly go wrong? Well, it's actually a cesspool of crime out there, people. And this week from the Laguna Beach newspaper, Street Beat, here's some of the crimes that have gone on that you may not have detected. Monday, April 28th, animal calls, 7:19 a.m. A mother duck and her babies are reported stuck in a storm drain.
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
Luckily, they were rescued. Here's my favorite. Tuesday, April 29th, indecent exposure. Richard Winkle, 78, of Laguna Beach, was allegedly fiddling himself when he stopped and asked a person walking by, hey, do you want to join in? Apparently, the gentleman did not take him up on his offer and had him promptly arrested for fiddling in public.
Oh. I missed that one, but okay.
Okay. Two callers reported a fight Wednesday night. 20-year-old woman resulted in a felony arrest for prescription drugs. What do you think of that?
I guess it would depend on the prescription.
This is the level of crime we have around here. This is the best I've got this week, okay? The fraud report. This one is interesting. Friday, May 2nd, a resident reported someone had stolen 1 million airplane miles out of their airline account.
How does somebody steal that out of an airline account?
I don't know. They should have not have handed out that password.
I bet you it was just somebody, a relative. I bet you it was a relative.
Now, probably the friend of the fiddler was out on Friday, May 2nd, and they found a male in the bushes filming girls while in their bathing suits changing down on the beach.
Well, what are girls doing changing on the beach?
I don't know. It's terrible. But okay. It's nothing like this domestic violence. Michael Ghiotti was arrested for ripping a woman's hair out. Who would do such a thing?
It could have been. What are those things called in the hair? The extensions. Could have
been. Oh, the weave.
The weave. Yeah,
probably was.
Okay.
But we need human options on that guy. We need a protector.
Yeah.
And finally, Emily Marshall. She was arrested as being an aggressor in an argument with her boyfriend and sent to jail.
I wonder how you determine who's the aggressor in an argument. You know, I mean, it's verbal, right? An argument is a verbal confrontation.
My guess is you could just look at
her
and sense
you can get arrested for being verbally aggressive? Is that what that's saying?
That's right here. Citizen Contact, 100 block of Cliff Drive, 10:17 p.m.
We need a lawyer in this room. Oh, that would be you.
Luckily, I don't do these kind of things.
Okay. Hey, by the way, we have a caller, somebody who's called in. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what's your name?
Marianne Waits.
Marianne Waits, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Rancho Santa Margarita.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thanks for calling in. I guess you're a listener of Radio Caravan.
Yes, I am.
Well, we appreciate that, by the way. So we have a gift card to give away to Jimmy's Famous American Tavern in Dana Point. Can you correctly guess the name of the owner who was on our show about 2 or 3 weeks ago?
I believe it was David Wilhelm.
Hey, hey, hey!
Woo! They have a winner.
Hey, well, congratulations, young lady.
Thank you for calling in.
We appreciate it. We're going to keep you on hold and get your contact information so we can get that gift card sent out to you, okay?
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. I really appreciate it.
And thanks for listening.
Wow, it's nice. Rancho Santa Margarita. We're branching out.
Impressive.
Yeah. They must listen over the internet, of course. So
they must.
Yeah. Very nice. About town. What do we got going on this week around town, Robert, or this weekend?
Well, we've got two new movies out this week. One good, one not so good.
Under My Skin. Have you seen this?
You love that. It's Scarlett Johansson, an alien eats people.
Visually exciting. Yeah. Narratively, it was complicated.
Not much of a show, I hear, but visually stunning.
Yeah, really.
And you're not speaking of Johansson. You're speaking of the filming and the techniques and things like that.
And last night I saw The Book Thief. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
Great.
Did you like that?
Loved it. Loved it. Yeah. Okay, what else we got coming
out? Well, we got Neighbors coming out. It came out this week.
Okay.
And it's a wacky tale about a couple with a newborn moving in next to a frat house. And it's kind of Zac Efron versus Seth Rogen and his wife.
Are you a wacky tale kind of moviegoer?
I am a Judd Apatow kind of guy, and it's that kind of a movie, but it doesn't do it very well, I thought.
The
Orange County Register panned it for odd reasons. The LA Times loved it. I'm not a fan of that movie.
No, okay. I wouldn't go see it personally.
But I am a huge fan of Chef Jon Favreau's new movie. You may remember Favreau started off at Indy, and then he did Swingers with Vince Vaughn, and he made Iron Man. So that's a pretty eclectic repertoire he's got.
Yeah.
And he was chosen as the closing film for the Newport Beach Film Festival a week ago. He spoke, wonderful guy, loved the show. Mm-hmm. It's about a star chef who gets berated by a local critic, goes crazy on him in public, goes viral on YouTube, he's fired, and he has to start his whole life over in a food truck.
Wow.
Really great movie, enjoyed that a lot, and we'll recommend that, and that came out today.
Have you ever eaten off those food trucks up in L.A.?
I have, they're fabulous.
They are.
We have them here, too.
Yeah, well, not in Laguna.
Well, they come through every now and then.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they do. They're everywhere. As a matter of fact, in the summer, the high school, at the football games, they bring a bunch of food trucks in. up for going
to
be
tied.
Oh,
that's good to know. Oh.
It's really good to know.
So, you go to the high school football games occasionally?
I do not, but I know friends that own restaurants, and I like it because when you go on Friday and there's no one there, you ask what the heck's going on, they're like, food trucks.
That's hilarious.
Food
trucks. You know, we've been on air since February, and you never once have asked me about what I'm doing over the weekend. Have you noticed that?
Well, it's funny. I was just going to ask.
You don't really care.
What are you doing this weekend?
No, you don't really care.
Oh, I really do.
No, I'm not interested now.
I had a sleepless night last night. I tumbled and I tossed, and I said, I can't wait to ask Scooty what he's doing this
Scooty.
Week.
All right, here we go. Any other about town stuff?
Yeah, well, you know, Wango Tango is back again. That's sure. That crazy Kiss concert, and not Kiss as in the guys with the makeup, but as in the Rick D's kind of Kiss radio station.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
And that's always popular. And this year they're featuring all the guys that have been on the show, like Adam Levine, Christina Aguilera. It's a fun show. They normally have about 10 or 15 acts. I recommend it. Now, tomorrow's Mother's Day. And if you're a really cheap bastard, if you take your mom to Ruby's and spend $10, she gets a free meal on Mother's Day.
Nice, nice.
So for all you cheap bastards, highly recommend.
By the Ruby's. Way, I interviewed Rick Dees years ago. One of my best interviews is back when he was doing that TV show Golden Dancers. What was that called? Something like this, and it was backstage, and he was like, he was really one of the most charismatic interviewees I've ever had. Yeah,
he's Ryan Seacrest's father, isn't he?
Yeah, right.
I think he is. And then here in Laguna, we've got 6 dance lessons in 6 weeks, and that's starring our French star Leslie Caron, and she's getting good reviews over there at the Playhouse, and of course the ever popular Book of Moron, Book of Mormon. That's a Freudian slip. One of the best plays I've ever seen by the wacky guys that brought you South Park, Broadway Smash, and it's here at the Sigerstrom Center for the next couple of weeks. Strongly encourage you to go see that one.
Very nice, very nice.
And that's what we got going on around town.
Hey, we got a guest coming in later this morning at around 8:30 from Tustin, California, former city council member John Kelly, who's running for a particular office that we'll talk about. And he is really one of the most, I don't know how to describe this, charismatic local politicians I've ever run into.
He's one of the most energetic guys I've ever seen.
A lot of energy. And I'll tell you how this interview came about. But before we go there, we have in the studio, of course, our lifestyle coach, Miss Jill Harvey.
We do. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I missed you guys.
We missed you.
Yeah.
You were gone last week in Sedona.
I was.
And how was that trip?
Fantastic.
I was in Scottsdale. How fun.
Hey.
There you go.
Yeah. Troubles everywhere.
What are you doing in Sedona, by the way?
Hiking. And we did some off-road jeeping. The three of us girls, we rented a Jeep. Yeah. Amazing stabilization processes and going up, going sideways, you know.
That's Crystal Town down there. Did you find some energy vortexes?
Yeah,
I could
we
see
meditated.
You getting into that, did you?
But
you do go out there for that sort of...
Yeah, absolutely, for the energy.
Yeah, I mean, do you do anything specific to kind of...
Well, you know, there are so many vortexes around, and if you hike in different areas, they have different energies. So we just pick different areas to hike in and sit down and meditate. And
how do you know when you go from one energy source to the next?
You have to listen.
Is that
intuitive.
What it is? It's a listening thing?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's beautiful anyway. I mean, it's just
beautiful.
Did you do the pink Jeep tours?
No, we rented our own Jeep.
Oh, very
ambitious. We gave them some competition. We pull up alongside. We're like, hey, how much are they charging you? We'll charge you half. Come on.
Nice.
No, we didn't.
Okay, so, hey, this morning we're talking about something you and I chatted about a couple of days ago, and I didn't know anything about it, but chia seeds.
Yeah.
And somehow this is related to that old...
Is that how you grow chia pets?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's somehow
You're
related
kidding
to
me.
Chia pets.
Chia, remember? Yeah.
You bet.
Did you guys have one of those?
Who didn't have a chia pet?
You had one.
You didn't have a chia pet?
Did you have a chia pet?
No, I love chia pets.
Oh, that's interesting. Which figurine did you have?
It was like a little pony or a dog or something like that.
Did you keep it well-groomed?
Yes, of course.
Oh, okay.
It was a well-coiffed chia.
Well-coiffed. Spell coiffed for me, by the way.
Yeah.
Q-U-A-Q-F-T-Y.
No. I can't, I think it starts with a C, right?
I can't spell dog. Don't
it sounds good.
I didn't make it through first round of the spelling bee, so don't worry.
All right,
that's
so
awesome.
Jill, what's going on there?
Yeah, so now we're eating the seeds that we're helping you keep your dog coiffed.
You eat chia pet seeds?
Yeah, those are now... one of the superfoods, power foods, where they pack a high nutritional punch.
This is madness.
I know.
Do you have like a terracotta pot for a follow-up cruncher?
I guess you could. Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, why not? So, yeah, so now they are this power food.
Huh.
So, you know, power food means that they are nutrient-dense, right? They are not calorie, you know, they're low in calories is what I want to say.
Well, I was trying to figure out why your hair had turned into a green frothy vegetative mess up there. What is it? Yeah, that's impressive. Thank you.
So they are from a mint family. They're a flowering plant, and they are indigenous. Oh. That's the word of the day.
I love that.
To Mexico, right, in Guatemala. And they go way back to the Mayan Aztec cultures. It was one of their staple foods. And the word chia is actually Mayan for strength. So, you know, if you eat them, all right, you're going to get stronger. But they are known to give you endurance and give you stamina. Mm-hmm. So they are, they look like little poppy seeds. Mm-hmm. And they are kind of flavorless, maybe a little nutty taste, but they're gelatinous. So whatever you put them in a liquid, they swell up and, you know, they actually absorb.
So do you buy the seeds? Is that what
you buy the seeds?
And then what do you do once you have the seeds?
Well, you can sprinkle them on salad. You can put them over yogurt. There's some. I will make you guys some pudding one week and bring it in. Chia seed pudding.
Really?
Yeah.
Chia seed pudding.
Yeah, you're gonna like it.
This gelatinous sort of process here. Does that mean that when you swallow?
Megan over here is like,
what are you looking at, Megan? She's,
no, I'm a pretty healthy person, but
this seems scary.
I'm very curious about
the pudding. I'll make some. Megan, you've never had...
I've had chia seeds
but not in a pudding?
Not in a pudding.
Oh, we're going to have fun.
But do these sort of grow inside your stomach? That makes you more full? Is that one of the concepts of it?
Yeah, that's an absolute beautiful benefit of it. So some of the benefits are the nutritional punch it has, and it's one of the highest sources of omega-3s in the plant family, so that's good. Omegas are really healthy for us and beneficial. And they are great in fiber. So, you know, the Dietary Association recommends 20 to 35 grams of fiber, and we are all deficient in that. And in that, it slows your digestion. So those seeds swell up. They absorb the moisture, and you're satiated. You're feeling fuller longer. It kind of curbs your appetite. They're higher in protein than a lot of plant sources, so it's a good thing. And they are actually high in calcium. So in a one-ounce serving, there's 18% calcium, and that's three times more than you will find in skim milk. Is that good or what?
Wow.
I know.
Chia ad industry over here. This is impressive.
Yeah, and that one-ounce serving also has 11 grams of fiber.
Okay, so if I were to get this at Safeway, it'd be about $1 a pound or about $30 a pound at Whole Foods, probably.
Exactly. Okay. You know, it's reasonable, and it goes a long way. But yeah, they are really, they'll absorb any flavor you give them.
Right.
So you can cook with them, you can sprinkle them on your salad, your yogurt, your oatmeal, put them in your smoothies.
So why are we just now hearing about this? I mean, apparently Megan's heard about it, but have you ever heard about this before, Robert?
Not outside of spreading it on a terracotta pot.
Yeah. Why now? Why all of a sudden is this?
Well, it actually has been around for a while. So in the past year, and like hemp seeds, you know, coming into hemp seeds, we'll talk about that another time. But, you know, we're looking for these power, nutrient-dense foods. And, you know, so many foods are lacking. You know, we call the beige family. People eat beige, and there's no nutrients. They're, you know, lacking in nutrients.
Like French fries? Is that a beige food?
That's beige.
Okay.
And it's fried.
I love
it. In beige oil. Okay. Yeah.
So are you encouraging people then to go out and purchase these chia seeds and sprinkle them on their oatmeal?
Yeah, they are fantastic. Flax seeds, they're similar to flax seeds, but flax seeds have to be milled and ground before you consume them. So these are ready to go, and I would try them.
Wow.
You know, yeah, they're wonderful. Now, I will bring in the pudding. Like, you would take almond milk, coconut milk, put a few tablespoons of chia seeds in, some maple syrup, some vanilla, stir it around, let it sit, and it gels up like pudding.
Wow.
You can put in fruit. It's good.
How about scotch? Does it go well with scotch?
You know, we could try that.
That would be
It
good.
Probably would. It would, it would
what
swell
doesn't
up.
Go well with scotch?
Maybe we can put it in our bath. There may be benefits to a bath soaked in, chia seeds.
You know, but I would have concerns about something swelling up inside my stomach. I mean, I would think, you know, I mean.
You're not a pigeon. You're not going to think
a lot
from rice.
Scott's going
to pass out. Bob when he walks? I think he is a pigeon. He's got that funny little bobbing thing going on.
Hey, you're on my list today, by the way, Robbie.
Am I?
No, but that's the beauty of it. You know, it's a soluble fiber. So it's going to help, again, with poop.
Here we go. Famous Robert topic.
You can't get enough soluble fiber, is what I always say.
Right. But do try. I mean, try chia seeds. I will definitely make pudding and bring it in one week.
All right, that sounds fun.
And I think next week we'll discuss maybe the nutrient value of pet rocks, since we...
Scooty would hurl a pet rock at me right now.
Right now I will. I'm in a bad mood as we pointed out. So
yay.
That's interesting.
Yeah, try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Chia seeds. All right,
chia
everybody.
Seeds.
Chia seeds.
Chia seeds, bring it on.
Bring it on. Jill, thank you so much.
You.
It's always a pleasure to see you in our studio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Didn't see that one coming. That was a good one. Thanks, Jill.
All right. All right, Robert. Legends of Rock. Megan.
Legends of Rock. Rock.
A young boy was born in Jalisco, Mexico, many, many years ago, playing the violin at the age of 5 and the guitar at the age of 8. His family later moved to San Francisco. He became a dishwasher and later became a big music fan. Well, one day he was up at Bill Graham's place, which, you know, Fillmore West, very famous, and Paul Butterfield was scheduled to play. And Paul, as was often the case, got hammered. Paul could not go on stage.
Where are you getting your source from here?
So Bill Graham abruptly had to put a band together, and he called some of his buddies in the Grateful Dead. He called some guys in Jefferson Airplane, and as it turns out, this young man's manager was there, and he says, you know, you ought to try this guy out on guitar. He's really pretty fabulous. So they put him on stage, and he played the amazement of everyone. He was so darn good, Bill Graham actually got him a spot in Woodstock before their very first album came out, and they took the crowd by storm as the best performance of the entire show, doing this 11-minute instrumental, Soul Sacrifice by Carlos Santana.
I'm going to ask you a question when we get a chance.
And this is the live Woodstock version. For those of you who have seen it, it's extraordinary. For those of you who have not, you need to see it.
It's definitely extraordinary. And I heard some rumor about the drummer, that their drummer got ill and they brought on this kid from out in the audience.
I don't know about this particular show, but they fired their other drummer they didn't like, and this guy was jazz and classically trained as well. You can listen to him, how absolutely fantastic he is, and you're going to hear a Hammond B3 coming in here.
You love that Hammond B3.
I do, and this would be Greg Rolie, one of the best keyboard players of all time. We'll get back now. There's Greg. That is called a signature sound. So needless to say, that album, if you can believe, was only recorded in 1 month, and it wasn't even released when they played Woodstock.
And then this came out, they were on Woodstock before the album came out.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
And they released it, and they had 2 number one hits on it. They had that hit, and of course, one of everybody's favorite, Evil Ways, baby. Well, after that promising album, next year they came out with a follow-up album in 1970, Abraxas, probably one of the most legendary albums of all time, mixing rock, blues, and jazz. Once again, they got 2 more hits off that, the very distinctive Oye, ¿Cómo Va? I go for some chia pesis right now, huh? And they followed up with the second hit, which they released just weeks later, My Beautiful Black Magic Woman.
All these songs great.
They're amazing. Listen to the musical evolution we're going to go through, how this guy literally evolved more than almost anyone I've ever heard.
Well, as you describe that evolution, point it out for us so we can kind of see what you're meant.
Okay, this is more their classic Latin, and really what brought them fame, but you're going to hear him get a little rocky at part, and he's going to be very poppy at the end.
Which,
and we can thank Clive Davis for that.
And you say that with a bit of an attitude.
It's good, but it's very different. Rarely does a musician mutate so much.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
You're missing some great air guitar here in the studio. Let's go. All right, so he thought he had a little bit of edgier influence, and he went out and he found a young prodigy, a kid playing guitar in San Francisco by the name of Neil Sloan. You may remember Neil, and Greg Rolie later left the band and founded buddy Steve Perry. They later formed a band that came a little bit famous, Journey. Not a bad start. So in Santana 3, they came out and they added one of my favorite horn sections in the world. Tower Power started playing with them, another Bay Area band. They were over across the bridge in Oakland. Their next album, Santana 3, went number one on the charts, sold 2 million copies, had the hit Everybody's Everything with Oddly Greg Rowland. Excuse me. Neil Schon plays lead on that, not Carlos Santana. And No One to Depend On.
Nice segue there.
Should have brought some tequila rum or something for this music, shouldn't we?
That sounds good.
All right, so Carlos kind of starts drifting now, getting into his own vibe a bit, and becomes a huge fan of John McLaughlin and the Mahavishnu Orchestra. Didn't have much going on for a long time, but then he came out in 1976 with his new album, Amigos, which featured Dance, You Sista Dance. Kind of the last typical Santana sound you'll hear as he starts to mutate a bit on us now. So he comes out next, bored apparently, and actually does a remake of that 1960s song by the Zombies, you probably remember, She's Not There. But with a little Latin zombie vibe here. Carlos now moves into the 80s, and wait to hear this different sound. He decides to go pop all of a sudden. And he had two hits in the 80s. First would be Winning. Can you even tell this is Santana?
No. I remember the song, but I wouldn't think Santana.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah. And it really is a departure.
I could have given you 20 bands to guess, and you wouldn't have guessed Santana, would you?
Never, never.
Next one's a shocker, too. Their next hit that came out in the 80s, Hold On. Tell me that, Santana.
It's interesting. Again, I would never have thought Santana if you'd asked me about this song. Unless when the lead guitar comes, and there's that sort of signature, you know, Santana.
Yep. So he keeps drifting a bit in the 80s. Needless to say, the sound isn't all that distinctive. It's very poppy, but it's no different than anybody else. So it comes out in 1990 with a couple new albums, another album in 1992, touring extensively. But did you know that by 92, he'd become so unpopular, he didn't even have a record contract anymore?
Wow.
So pretty much that's the end for him, don't you think?
You know, without a record label, we might have been able to bring him into the radio station in an interview.
We did. Unfortunately for us, he stumbled upon Arista's head and chairman and genius extraordinaire, Clive Davis.
Oh.
Clive Davis pulled him inside and said, I have an idea to remake you, rebrand you, and create you all anew. What you need to do is bring in a bunch of young kids, do albums with him, and we'll create a whole new sound. So he hooks him up with Rob Thomas, Matchbook 20, Eric Clapton, CeeLo Green, and others. And out came this smash hit that took not only the musical industry by storm, but went to the top of the charts. Rob Thomas, Carlos Santana on Smooth. And notice here how he's melding his poppy style with his Latin style.
Yeah, he brought that back. Much better. I love this. I love this song. Well, I hear you whispering the words to
melt everyone, but you stay so cold. Number one hit, guess how many weeks?
16.
12. Good guess. But that's not enough. He follows it up with yet another number one hit, even more signature Carlos Santana, the beautiful Maria Maria. Ladies and gents, a perfect blend. Hip hop, jazz, rock, folk.
Yeah.
And the Santana sound.
Yeah, I like it.
Amazing album, went on to sell millions and millions and millions of copies, got him inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, won Record of the Year, Album of the Year, and Song of the Year. 2002, they did a follow-up, Shaman, following the same format, but only one hit off that album, and a very, very poppy one at that, featuring Michelle Branch, you might remember it, Game of Love.
I
2003, Santana was named by Rolling Stone as the 15th greatest guitar player of all time. I find that an abomination. I can't.
Who would they rate number one?
I have no idea.
Well, who would you rate number one as guitarist? I mean, think about it. They usually go to Eric Clapton or, you know, an Eddie Van Halen or...
No, I'm more of a Jeff Beck, Joe Satriani kind of guys.
Oh, well,
whole good. Different style.
Yeah. Stevie Ray Vaughan, who said that?
Stevie Ray's good.
Yeah, April said that.
All right, a little trivia for you. Santana is actually featured in Guitar Hero 5, where you can learn to play just like Carlos Santana.
Wow.
And the classic sound that you're hearing now, he originally started off on Gibsons, but in 1998, a small company called Paul Reed Smith, PRS, picked him up. And if you've ever seen his guitars, they're some of the most beautiful guitars you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And then he took a small amplifier company called Mesa, and he heard it and goes, that thing boogies. And they renamed it the Mesa Boogie. And to this day, that's one of his favorite amps. And he uses two of them to get that patented sound. So a Paul Reed Smith or two Mesa Boogies creates the legend, Carlos Santana.
Beautiful, Robert. Legends of Rock. Everybody loves listening to your Legends of Rock, man. It's a very nice historical summation of an artist's career. I got a new concept, by the way, that I'll talk to you about at the break.
You got it.
That I think we ought to incorporate into the show that's a little bit more specific.
Does it involve a chia pet?
Megan, we're going to roll out into this song while we kind of set up for John Kelly, who's coming in here after the 1 minute break. And during the break, Robert, I'll show you my newly pedicured toes. I'm sure you'd love to see
that. I can't
wait. You're peeking. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes here with my co-host, Robert Palmer. Good job, by the way, on Legends of Rock, my friend.
Thank you, brother. I'm looking forward to our next guest.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about our next guest. I took my 87-year-old dad out to hit golf balls about a month ago. And we just went to the driving range, and he's a little frustrated with his skills these days. It's the first time he'd been out in years, and he used to golf all the time.
If I can hold a golf club when I'm 87, I'll be pretty happy.
Yeah, yeah. So afterward, we kind of drove downtown Tustin. I thought I'd take him to some sort of Irish pub and, you know, have a cold one. And I got lost, and so I kind of pulled into a parking lot, and there was this cigar shop. And I walked in, and I asked the guy there if he could recommend a local sort of pub that I could take my 87-year-old dad out for a beer.
Aye, laddie.
Aye, laddie. And within, I'd say, minutes, I recognized this person because I had written a magazine article about him about 25 years earlier.
Wow.
For Orange Coast Magazine, as I recall.
He's still got that youthful look, too.
He does, yeah. And the story was interesting because he was in the middle of a re-election campaign, I believe, for the Tustin City Council.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote this story about a night that I think he ended up losing the election. But it was really quite an interesting story to go back and reread after all those years. And I just did that a couple of days ago. And so we got to talking, and I found out that he's running again for office. And he's a charismatic, energetic, interesting person. And I'd like to introduce, and I'm honored to introduce, John Kelly. John, good morning, sir. Get close to
good
the
morning,
mic.
Good morning, John.
Oh, thank you, Scott. It's great to be on your show and being here in a beautiful Laguna Beach. My God, it's just a gorgeous place.
It is a gorgeous place. Do you get down here much, by the way?
No, I can't. I mean, I've been taxed to death.
Okay, we're going to get there.
I like that intro. He's not wasting a minute. This is a good politician.
Yeah, yeah. So we could say, you know, for people who can't see, John's dressed in his, you know, in his coat and tie, looking very, you know, political. And when we did this interview 25 years ago for Orange Coast Magazine, they shot a picture of John on a soapbox with boxing gloves and a cigar.
It
was,
nice.
Yeah, and that was the image. And I'm wondering, John, my first question for you, look, reflecting back on that image, right? What did that image represent to you back then about you? You're on a soapbox, you got your boxing gloves on, and you're smoking a cigar.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, politics is like Winston Churchill said many years ago, that politics is just like war. The only difference is that in war, you can only die one death, but in politics, you die many deaths. And it's always a battle, and you got to handle your dukes real well. And anyway, around here in Orange County, we've always had so many professional politicians that have so much money, they can fill up the voters' mailboxes with all the propaganda, and it's very difficult. So you got to put your dukes up, and that's what it's all about.
Very nice, very nice. You come from a family of 12 children.
That's correct.
You took the California proficiency exam to your junior year of high school to get out of high school to enter the family business.
Right. Well, my father allowed me to open up my own business, and, you know, I opened up a cigar shop when I was 18 years old. And the first thing that he told me, he said, son, congratulations on your business, but I got to tell you, you've got to go out and get a seller's permit from the California Board of Equalization. And this is going to require you to collect sales tax from your customers at the conclusion of each sale. And you got to send it to Sacramento. And for this task, you're not going to get paid. You're an unpaid tax collector. Have a nice career as a cigar merchant.
You promptly re-enrolled in school.
No. I loved all the interesting people that came into my cigar shop. I was blessed with a lot of very professional people that would come in there. And but I cried out to my father. I said, Pops, why do I have to do that? My dad said, son, that's the price that you must pay for the privilege of doing business here in California. And so what we're confronted with today is we've got so many merchants that are selling tangible goods into California, and they're not paying anything.
Let me stop you there, because we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want to give listeners a sense of sort of your history in politics. And I wrote down a few things. You started running for office in 1980 at the age of 18.
That's correct, yeah.
You were elected to the Tustin City Council in 1986 at the age of 24.
Right.
You ran a campaign strategy where you rode an elephant down El Camino Real in Tustin.
Yeah. Right? Did you need a permit for that?
No. Okay. It's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission, you know.
And who do you ask to ride an elephant?
Yeah, I don't know where that would go.
Barnum and Bailey.
Permit for elephant riding.
You referred to some of your colleagues as twits, morons, slime. You were thoroughly drubbed by the voters in 1990. Yeah. All of this pretty accurate?
Yeah, it is. But I was a young fella back then, and there was a lot of preposterous things going on at that level. And it's just, you know, a young person reacting to that. And I think I've matured a little bit. I'm 52 years old now.
Yeah.
But there were some really preposterous, idiotic things that were going on at the council at that time and fighting over the budget. One of the first things they did was they banned smoking in the council chambers and all of City Hall, for that matter. And I warned my colleagues that if you take away the American Indians had the wisdom to pass around the peace pipe in their teepee to take the edge off, because they were going to make determinations on how to spend the tribe's resources. And I told them, if you take that peace pipe around away, there's going to be a lot of friction. So sure enough, there was a lot of friction. And the end result was no one survived re-election. Everybody, the voters fired everyone.
Yeah.
Wow.
You were quoted as saying back then that this was an old Irish quote, that an Irishman's heart is not at peace unless he's in the middle of the fight.
That's right.
What was your fight back then?
Well, what it was, all the way back then, I was fighting with the council members on the way that, they were treating local businesses.
Okay.
And that's really what got me involved in the political thing in the first place. And I cut my teeth on working on Howard Jarvis's campaign, Proposition 13, and I hold that very sacred. He's the only guy in the political arena that I have true love and respect for was Howard Jarvis. He was really a saint. You know, I mean, if we could canonize a California guy, it would be Howard Jarvis. He saved so many of us from being taxed out of our homes.
Prop 13, Prop 218, he did a number of things.
Oh, yeah. Howard Jarvis, God rest his soul. Yeah. And I loved him. He was a little rough around the edges, smoking a pipe and getting in arguments with Jerry Brown and all the other professional politicians. I loved watching him on television. He also starred in that movie Airplane.
Really?
Yeah, he was.
I don't remember in that movie.
He was at the end of Airplane. He was in a taxi cab, and he was looking like he was a real patient guy, which he was not. But he was persistent, you know.
Yeah.
Did he like Gladiator movies?
There was a lot of classic one-liners from that movie.
I picked
a bet
on his stuff sniffing glue. So you told me earlier before the show that you think politicians are like diapers. Now, why is that?
Well, you know, there's just so many of them that just make a living out of it, you know. And when I ran for Congress back in 1988, the Christopher Cox came rolling into Orange County. He was like a carpetbagger. And, you know, he came in and delivered this presentation, his deportment, like he maintained so much esoteric knowledge. He was a total complete know-it-all. And he was advertising the Ayn Rand Institute, libertarian thought. But the reality is the man made his living off the government tit. I mean, his whole career, government paychecks. And today I believe he lives in a $9 million house down in Bear Brand Ranch. And so government was very good for him. But, you know, we wanted
John, this is radio. We say teat.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm trying to be as clean and wholesome as I can.
You're doing
like my
great,
mother
sorry.
Taught me. And, you know, by the way, I just lost my mom two weeks ago.
Sorry to hear that.
And, you know, she was the first one that signed my petition. And she said to me, there are a bunch of crooks up there in Sacramento, and you go get them, John.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, God bless her.
Yeah. So let's kind of bring it up to contemporary times. This afternoon, 4 o'clock at your cigar shop in Tustin, you're holding what you're calling an Irish wake. This is at John Kelly's Cigar Shop on El Camino Real?
That's correct,
at 4 p.m. Who or what died, and why are you holding the Irish wake?
Well, you know, the last year I've been tending to my mom and looking after her. I couldn't conduct my business there, you know, competing with out-of-state vendors and everything. So I've gathered up the remaining cigars that I have. And I put them in a real casket. And
for this afternoon.
For this afternoon. And so we're going to have this big party. And the Irish wake, you're trying to wake up the dead. You know, with strong drink and Irish fiddle music, you're trying to wake up the dead. And like that famous movie, Waking Ned Devine.
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite
great
flicks.
Movie.
Yeah, Waking Ned Devine. So we're going to have a big party, and I'm going to try to bring it back to life and have some success in this Board of Equalization campaign to really represent the small businessman.
So you're running for a seat on the State Board of Equalization.
That's
and right. You're running for a seat on the State Board of Equalization for a very specific reason that kind of got you into this race, right?
Yeah.
Can you sort of define the reasons why you're here today in such a way that listeners who may not be familiar with the context of your issues can understand?
Okay, well, you know, as a city councilman, I learned at a very early age that 50% of our operating budget, you know, to pay for the police officers, the maintenance of the infrastructure, to pay the electric bills for the streetlights, 50% of the money to fund city government came through the form of sales tax. And so, you know, even if you're a non-smoker, a small business person provides a service to the community, and that they're collecting this very necessary revenue to create the municipal services that we enjoy. And so, you know, doing that and then to be punished by this Board of Equalization and sending auditors down and working you over like that, the ingratitude. And the California Board of Equalization is the only elected tax panel of its kind in the United States. In 1897, they established this to put a human face on the confiscatory Leviathan.
Wow.
So this office...
That was a nice phrase.
Yeah, it was. I don't know that he could repeat it, but it was a good one.
Well, what they do is if you're a fee payer and you have a dispute with the bureaucracy says you owe X, you claim you owe Y, you have this panel to go in front of and give the human story what it's all about.
Got it.
And so it performs basically a judicial function of government and an executive function as well.
So what is the human story that you went to the State Board of Equalization to speak about, and why we're here today?
Okay, well, I've appeared in front of them a total of 6 times, and what I was going after was that Rob Reiner back in 1998 put this huge tobacco tax together called Prop 10, and it was to raise funds for early childhood development.
Yep.
And, you know, on the face of it right there, Rob Reiner, a Hollywood plutocrat, getting involved in a taxing issue like this. And, you know, my dear mom and dad raised 12 kids, and they didn't want to have any part of a Hollywood plutocrat telling them how to raise their children. But he wanted to tax the evil commodity, tobacco,
yep,
and with it do the good for to buy baby rattles, diapers, formula, whatever. And so, anyway, I was opposed to it from the get-go, but nevertheless, had to live with it. And In the realm of tobacco, you can't buy mail-order cigarettes since 1949. Harry Truman and the brokers of pillage in the Congress back then, they put no interstate commerce for cigarettes. However, other tobacco products enjoyed interstate commerce. And so with this huge onerous tax, the cigars became a big thing in mail order. So the biggest mail order company that's conducting business in California is owned by Europeans, and they're allowed to huckster their goods throughout California without paying any property tax, without paying the absurd 33% excise tax from Prop 10, nor do they collect any sales tax revenue. So when we kill the goose that lays the golden egg, the small business merchant, that's going to give the green light to these professional politicians to assault Proposition 13. They're going to go after your property tax. When we kill small retail retailers here in California, they're not going to have that revenue, and we have that budgetary shortfall, and I want to protect Prop 13. I started my whole political life as a big proponent of 13, loving Howard Jarvis, and we're on thin ice here right now. We've with the internet huckstering all these goods into California, I say that we need to reduce sales tax to make it more attractive for people to buy their goods here in California.
So let's back up a little bit. I've heard or read, you tell me if I'm correct or not, that roughly 70% of the cigars sold in California come through the internet or mail order catalogs.
That's right, yeah.
That don't have to pay, as you mentioned, sales tax, excise tax, etc., which you say creates a culture of tax cheating smokers,
mm-hmm,
and puts cigar businesses such as your own,
mm-hmm,
at a distinct disadvantage or even out of business. What's the status of your own cigar business as a result of...
Well, I currently hold the licenses and everything else. My business is in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm having this wake. But I want to get back into business, the pursuit of happiness. And I love the cigar business. With my running for the Board of Equalization, I want to land on the moon. I don't want to live there. I don't want to be a government employee. I don't want to be a career politician. Like I said about the diapers.
You don't want to be a stinky old diaper.
Yeah, I don't want to be a stinky old diaper. No, I want to get back to my business, and this affords an opportunity to be an advocate for the small businessman.
I've got specifics here. A box of Churchill 25-count Tiamo cigars made in Mexico, sold over the internet or in a catalog, comes to a consumer's doorstep here in California for roughly $84, $85. Somebody walking into your store, though, has to pay roughly $110 or $112.
No, that's just to put it on the shelf.
Just to put it on the shelf. But they're actually paying $25-$30 more at store, right?
Yeah.
And this is hurting your business, no?
Oh, absolutely. It's devastated. You know, I want to tell you right now that former Governor Pat Brown, that's Jerry Brown's own father, before he even got involved in politics, Pat Brown paid his way through law school by selling cigars retail. And Governor Jerry Brown's grandpa owned a cigar shop, San Francisco, California. And former Governor Pat Brown sold huckstered cigars there behind the counter to pay his way through law school. So it's a noble profession, and it's been ruined by the idiocy of people like Rob Reiner, Meathead, you know. And
can you say Meathead on air? I don't know.
You can say Meathead.
But here's my question, man. You've been speaking at the State Board of Equalization, proposing what?
Well, I've gone in front of them and basically telling them the bedrock principle for all free societies is that laws have to apply to all of us or none of us. And so if you cannot enforce the tobacco tax laws of California on this European company that's huckstering into here, take it away. Take away the Rob Reiner thing. They have succeeded in getting millions of dollars for this early childhood development through cigarette taxes, the 50 cents a pack,
yep,
and they can do that because the federal legislation back in 1949 does not allow for cigarette smuggling. Now, you got to understand, if they didn't do that in 1949, we'd have a mail order cigarette catalog. You people would get, why would they go into a store and pay $45 for a carton of Marlboros if they could get it out of a mail order catalog for $20?
And that's why you've got a huge black market in cigarettes now. They estimate 50% of the sales are black market nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Couldn't you set up a P.O. box in Arizona and run a mail order catalog cigar process through that?
Well, there's a lot of ideas of like playing it outside the foul lines, but I don't want to get caught. I go by Murphy's Law. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they like to use the guy as an example. You know, when my mom signed that petition saying that, go get them, John, there are a bunch of crooks up there in Sacramento. A week after she said that to me, they arrested Senator Leland Yee and Calderon and Wright, three California senators, all getting handcuffed and hauled off. And Leland Yee was smuggling cigarettes. So,
well,
I don't know.
Yeah. And firearms and cigarettes. He did the whole bit.
Good for him.
Yeah. When you went to the State Board of Equalization, though, John, what is it ultimately you were asking for?
Well, I was asking them to write a letter to the California Congressional Delegation to revise the PACT Act that was approved in 2010 by Barack Obama. He signed it into law. And it was legislation that was shepherded through the Congress by none other than Congressman Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
Anthony Weiner brought this thing, the Cigar Smuggling Act of 2010 was
You know, if he'd been photographing cigars and not, you know, what else, he might still be in office today.
It's not a joke. It was Anthony Weiner that did it. He pulled that stunt.
Would he be more of a Monte Cristo guy in your mind, or maybe a Petite Corona?
That's clever, man. I like that.
Petite Corona.
And I wouldn't say put that in your mouth and smoke it either.
So you spoke before the State Board of Equalization. No luck there. You sent letters to Senator Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein. They didn't respond. You got nowhere with that process.
No, none of them have. The Board of Equalization did send out a request to say, hey, look, include all tobacco products, and not a single California federal lawmaker responded to that body. None of them. They threw it all in the trash. And the one that I've been concentrating now is Congresswoman Judy Chu from Pasadena. And I said to her, you know, in the letter that I sent to her and the board, trying to get them to write, she used to sit on the California Board of Equalization administering the tax laws of California. Then she went off to Congress and she voted for Anthony Weiner's PACT Act that allows for cigar smuggling into California. And so I told them, come on, Toots. You got to tell us why you voted for it.
Did you use the word toots?
That's a good way to get her attention and respect.
I'm sure that worked.
No, not me. But, you know, more professionalism, you know, to have the board, you know, act as a body to do that. But they've been so hesitant. They're so bashful to go to them. And, you know, another one, I sat down in her office. It was Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez. Okay. And I sat down in her office and I delivered my gravamen to her. And she looked at me and she scratched.
I got Weiner in trouble, too, just for the record.
She scratched her head and she said, oh, Mr. Kelly, did we forget to include cigars into it? I'll have to get back to you. She slammed the door. She didn't want to talk to me anymore. And then later on, I found out that she's received thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from the European Cigar Company. And she's received it from Hugh Hefner, Playboy publisher Hugh Hefner, who has the Don Diego Playboy cigar that's huckstered here into California, duty-free. So, you know, she's an honest politician. She stays bought when she is bought.
All right, well, let me ask you this. I mean, you're going way off. We can't confirm or deny these sort of statements.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I have no idea what he's talking about or what I'm talking about. But let me ask you, what's the status of your campaign right now?
Well, you know, I'm going to all the little retailers throughout, you know, the district, and that's Orange County, Riverside, San Diego, and Imperial County, and I'm giving it the best I can. I'm going against an opponent that is way overfunded. You know, she's got a lot of dough, and she has a proclivity to sue anybody that says anything naughty about her.
Well, don't say anything naughty on air for me, okay?
Oh, no, not at all, no. All right. But at any rate, I'm just presenting to the voters and my candidacy that I'm an honest businessman and I want to protect the goose that lays the golden egg, because we got to do that. Otherwise, we're going to lose Prop 13 and it's going to affect all of us. And they're going to go after property tax, government like a baby crying for more money. And they're rest assured they're going to attack property tax. They don't get it through sales tax revenue.
That's their only other source.
That's the only other source. So I'm giving it and I've seen this opponent of mine. And we can't afford to have a milquetoast individual on that Board of Equalization. For the last 8 years, Michelle Steele has served in that capacity. She sat in her chair like a potted plant. She struggles with the English language. She has no deference from her Democratic colleagues on the panel. And thank God she's termed out. But now she's running for the Orange County Board of Supervisors. We'd be all a lot better off if she just go home and cook up some tasty dishes for her husband.
What do you think, Chance? What do you, I mean, I'm telling you, this is how
the pit rocks are flying.
What do you think your chances are, John? Honestly,
You know, you're in. It's going to be a fist fight all the way down to the end. I'm going to do the best I can, and hopefully that the California voters will just not go blindly to the polls and understand the importance of somebody to fill that chair on the Board of Equalization and not sit there like a potted plant, but to deliver collective syllogistic reasoning to these people to say, look, we got to protect small business, the heritage. Even, again, like I said, the profession that I'm in, former Governor Pat Brown was in it. And how would he fare in today's California?
I'll bet you nobody's ever referred to you, John, as a potted plant.
No,
would that be a fair statement on my end?
No.
All right, you've got the Cigar Shop Wake, 4 p.m. today at John Kelly's Cigar Shop, 330 El Camino Real in Tustin.
That's right.
4 p.m. today. You're expecting your partner out here was saying 100, 200 people might show up.
Yeah.
You've got Irish fiddle players. You've got cigars.
And special guest.
Special guest. You want to tell us about your special guest real quickly?
Lady Godiva.
Amazing you could afford Lady Godiva.
Shocking. It's a model of Lady Godiva, but it's real important here. Lady Godiva, it was like a Howard Jarvis in England many years ago. The story, it's not the
I would
chocolate.
Not want to see Howard Jarvis naked
no,
on horseback.
No, no. But Lady Godiva, you know, everybody just thinks of the chocolate company, Godiva Chocolate. But Lady Godiva, the real story behind it, she was married to Lord Leo Frigg, who was the taxing authority of Coventry, England. And he was taxing the hell out of all of the townspeople. And the good-hearted Lady Godiva was pleading with him to lower the taxes. And he said basically, in words to the effect, when hell freezes over, he said, the day that I lower the taxes on these wretches is the day that you mount your steed and ride through the village of Coventry naked. Never. Well, she did it.
Yeah.
And she strode through there, and all the townspeople were told to shutter their windows and honor Lady Godiva because she was protesting their taxes, and she was going to be naked. There was one cat who couldn't resist taking a look at her, and he was the tailor. And when they caught him looking at Lady Godiva, they got a metal pole, and they blinded him. They burned his eyeballs right out of his skull. His name was Tom. So henceforth, to this very day, any man who gets caught for illegal voyeurism is called
Peeping Tom.
Peeping Tom.
Lady Godiva. So I got John Kelly chocolates.
Okay, well, we're going to look forward to that. We got 30 seconds. Okay. You've always referred to yourself as the underdog, And I'm wondering if you think you'll ever be accepted and appreciated as a politician. You got 30 seconds.
Well, you know, we do the best we can. I'm an honest man. I'm a hardworking man. And I'm a native Californian. And I see all the – we live in the most beautiful place on planet Earth. But the absurdity and the corruption, the citadel of corruption in Sacramento is appalling. And I want to do the best I can and live up to my mom. They're a bunch of crooks. Go get them, John. I promise to be honest, hardworking, and loyal to California.
Go get them, John Kelly.
John, that was really smooth, and we're going to go out with that tune by Rob Thomas and Carlos Santana. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank
it was a
you.
Pleasure. I look forward to seeing you at your wake, and good luck with your state board run.
Right on.
Pleasure
Thank
meeting you.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes on behalf of myself and Robert Palmer. Jump on board, right? You're out of here.
Caravan.
Thanks, Robert.
Take it away, Carlos.